We have to go back to the Sugyan Daf Kufei, and let's see if we can find the place. Boy minei Rav Asi mi Rav Yochanan. The first word in the line is Viyarka.
No, that doesn't say much
in your case, right? Because you have a different Gemara. Let's see. I don't know if it tells you anything if I say it's about 15 lines down from the top.
Which daf is it?
On Kufei Amud Aleph. Boy minei Rav Asim Rav Yochanan.
Kama Yisha?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the question that the Talmud Rav Asi asks his Rebbe Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara is going to have two versions of the question. So this is the first version, which is not going to really succeed. Kama yishev bein basar legvina. If he ate basar, how much time does he have to wait until he eats gvina? Amalei, Rav Yochanan responds to Rav Asi's question. He says, v'lo klum, he doesn't need any shahiyah. He doesn't have to wait at all. Immediately after he finishes the basar, he's allowed to eat gvina. Meaning, according to this version, which the Gemara is going to change in a minute, it seems that the only gzeira d'rabbanan was to eat cheese and meat together, simultaneously. But as long as you separate them, and eat them bazach or zeh, that's mutter. So Gemara rejects this. Eini, is it possible? V'amar av chizda, achal basar also lechel gvina. Gvina muta lechel basar. And Rav Chizda says it depends on the sequence. If you started with basar, which is exactly the question that was asked to Rav Yochanan, then you're not allowed to eat gvina. You have to separate the two. You can't immediately eat gvina. Now, how long do you have to wait in order to eat gvina? That's going to be the sugi of Mar Ukva, which is a little bit later on the daf. But one thing is clear, that Rav Yochanan's response to Rav Asi, that you could eat gvina immediately after you finish your basar, that's not true. Or at least not according to Rav Chizda, unless you want to make machlokas here between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chizda, which apparently the Gemara doesn't want to do. Now, most Rishonim understood that what Rav Chizda was telling us was that even after he does what's called kinuach and hadocha, which is the previous sugya, nevertheless he still is not allowed to eat gvina. So kinuach hadocha is a prerequisite, it's a requirement, but it's not sufficient. He needs shahiyah, he needs hamtana until seuda acheres, which is going to be Mar Ukva in the next piece of Gemara. All this is true again in the case, and only in the case where he started his meal with basar. If he started with gvina, then he's allowed to eat basar afterwards, immediately, but he needs kinuach v'adocha. That's most of the Rishonim, and we're going to go through this again in a few minutes. I'm just mentioning it up front. Again, there are other Rishonim who are going to say that all of these dinim of Shehiya Hamtana between Basar and Gvina only apply in a case where there was no Kinuach V'adocha. But if there would have been Kinuach V'adocha, then he could eat Gvina immediately after Basar. Which is a little bit odd, but basically there are like two tracks. You know, one track, which is a track of Shehiya, is without kinuach v'adocha, and the other track is with kinuach v'adocha. You don't need shahiyah. You know, it's a little bit disjointed, but according to some Rishonim, that's how we're going to have to put it together. Now, these Rishonim are going to maintain that after you eat gvina, you're allowed to eat basa miyad, even without kinuach v'adocha, because again, we're saying that if you eat basa first, then kinuach v'adocha, according to these Rishonim, are sufficient. So it must be that if you eat gvina, you don't even need kinuach v'adocha. Okay. Now, exactly why Rav Chizda says you cannot eat gvina immediately after basar, that's also going to be a matter of machlokes. and there's going to be a Rashi here and a Tosfos and a Rambam. Rashi, Dibur Maskil also lechol gvina, which is again, if you, I don't know, it's not going to help you much, but it's about 20 lines down from the top of the page. He says, Mishum de basar motzi shuman vu nidbak b'peh umarech b'tama. There's a long arichus here in Rashi. He's got like three different elements here. He's talking about shuman, he's talking about nidbak, he's talking about tam. But somehow, in some abstract way, so to speak, there's something left to the basar even after you finish swallowing it. Something is still there. It's not physical. It's not something that you can point to. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Perek Tes, at the end of the Perek, in Machol Sasur, says that the reason why you can't eat cheese immediately after milk, I'm sorry, cheese immediately after basar, is because of what's called basar ben ashinayim. And the assumption, therefore, is that even though you did kinuach, which again, the purpose, the goal of kinuach was to remove the basar ben ashinayim, it wasn't totally successful. And that's going to reflect those Rishonim that we mentioned earlier, the first shita, that you need both. You need kinuach v'adoch after basar in order to eat kvina, plus you need shehir. Now, if kinuach is not sufficient to get rid of the basar ben ashinayim, then we have to ask the obvious question, so what good is waiting? And that's going to be another issue in this sugya. So there are many different issues that we have to take up. But in any event, let's get back for a moment to the question that Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan's response. In our original version, Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, can he eat gvina immediately after basar? And the answer was yes. That can't be now if we want to square off with Rav Chisda. Ella, we have to reformulate the question of Rav Asi. And what Rav Asi asked was, kama yisha bein gvina lebasar? In other words, he ate gvina first. And the question is there a requirement of shehi after gvina in order to eat basar? And Rabbi Yochanan says there's no need to wait after cheese. You can eat basar immediately afterwards, and that reflects the sheet of Rav Chisda that we just saw, because Rav Chisda said that kvina muta lechol basar meaning miyan. Now the question would be, do you need any sort of kinuach v'adocha
between
kvina and basar? Now, if we're assuming like those Rishonim, the second school of Rishonim, then you don't need anything after gvina. And when he says, you know, v'lo klum, he means two things. He means you don't need shehir, and you don't need anything else either, kinuach, etc. But if you go like the first sheet of the Rishon, then in the case of achilas basa first, then you need two things in order to allow you to eat gvina. You need both kinuach, hadocha, and shehir. Then it could be that in the case of Gvina, what Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan were pointing, in the case where he started with Gvina, what Rav Chisda and Rav Yochanan are pointing out is that you don't need Shehir, but you may in fact need Kinuach and Hadocha. So, Ochal Gvina, Muto Lechal Achra Bosomiyad, Ubulvad Sheyasa Kinuach Vadocha Kedin. That's again the first school of Rishonim. Because they're going to say that in the case where he ate Bosa first, he needs two things. He needs the kinuach v'adocha plus shehir. In the case of gvina, he only needs one thing, namely kinuach v'adocha, but doesn't need shehir. The second school of Rishonim, which again, that's the minority of Rishonim, and we'll see who they are as we go along, they're of the opinion that in the case of basa first, you have two options. Either you do kinuach v'adocha, or you wait 6 hours and you don't need kinuach v'adocha. In the case of Gvina, where he started with Gvina, you don't even need Kinuach V'adocha. Because again, otherwise there's no contrast. Because if you're saying that you need Kinuach V'adocha if you ate Gvina first, well, this sheet of Rishonim is holding that in the case where you ate Basa first, if you did Kinuach V'adocha, you're allowed to eat Gvina. So there's no difference whatsoever in the sequence. The Gemara is obviously making a difference. The Gemara thought originally that the question that Rabbi Yochanan was addressing was if he ate basa first. Now the Gemara is saying no, if he ate gvina first. Rabbi Yochanan's response was v'lo klum, that you don't have to wait at all. Would you require kinuach v'adoch? That's going to depend upon those two shitos in the Rishonim that we mentioned before. Let's just go over it one more time. The bulk of the Rishonim are of the opinion that in the case of achol basa tchila, you need two things. You need kinuach v'adocha plus shehir. In the case of Gvina, if you ate Gvina first, you only need Kinua Fadoch, you don't need Shehiyah. And there's another group of Rishonim, and that's going to be Rabbi Tam, and others, they're going to hold that it's, in the case of us, Ochal Basat Chil, it's either or. You have two choices. You can eat Gvina after Kinua Fadoch Miyad, or you can wait 6 hours and you don't even need Kinua Fadoch. In the case of Ochal Gvina Tchil, you don't need anything. You could finish your Gvina and then Gegezu to hate and eat your bus. Now let's just for a moment fast forward to Mar Ukfa. Mar Ukfa says that he's like Chometz Ben Yayin compared to his father. His father, if he ate Basar, would not eat Gvina for an entire day. We said that was 24 hours. But I, says Mar Ukfa, I just wait till the next Seuda. Okay. Now, what does it mean I wait till another Seuda? So if you take a look at Tosus here, Dibra Maskel was Suda Achriti, Achilna. He says, Lav besudasa shirigilum lechol lasos achas shakras yachas arvis. Tosus Shita is that we don't measure Suuda Achrita by time, by looking at the clock and saying, well, you know, he eats his main suud in the morning and he eats a night suud at night or whatever it might be, and we have to span that a period of time and wait between Basar and Gvina. No. Afili alter im silek hashulchan ubirech mutter. Which means that l'suud achrita, you have to set up a new suud. You have to terminate the first suuda where you ate basar and set up another suuda to eat gvina. And they can't be overlap in one suuda. How do you complete one suud and terminate it? Number one, you need siluk hashulchan. And number two, you need birkas hamazon. And then Tosus adds below plug rabbana, because if you're going to talk about waiting for another Seuda in the time period that you usually wait between one Seuda in the morning and one Seuda in the evening, then it's going to depend upon your particular eating habits. And then it will become a subjective matter. How much time do you have to wait? Well, we have a principle of, nitnu dvarei chacham l'shirim, there has to be a shir of zman. So therefore Tosus rejects the whole approach of zman, and instead he replaces it with the idea of completing one suuda in order to begin another suuda. So just to read to you the footnote here, he writes that Dat Lufi Das HaTosfis, and he mentions other Rishonim who agree with Tosfis, Lo Chilku Chachome B'Shir Zman Shebein Suudu L'Suuda. They're not going to make a relative kind of evaluation of how much time has to pass between one suud and the other, which would be relative to each person. But rather, we're looking for an objective standard or requirement that applies to everyone. And therefore, Tosus says, Miyad achrei suuda basaris, after his fleshic meal immediately, im silek hashulchan uberkas birkas hamazon, mutol lechol gvina. And the Taz writes in Yoredeus Simon Peites that even according to Das HaTosus, eino moel elikashe silek atzmo minasuda legamre. In other words, it's the Taz claims that according to Tosfos, it's not just some sort of fake arai. You know, I'm going to say to myself, let me just, bench, remove the table bench, and then bring back the table immediately. Because his Das was to eat immediately afterwards. No, that's not what it means. He needs a siluk legamre, meaning he's decided that the meal is over. But aval imu mevarach birkas hamazon kidei sheyochal miyad achar gvina. He's just going through the motions here. I'm going to bench so that I can eat gvina. Harei zelon, that's not considered silek atzum and asuda v'yosolechol gvina. Okay. So that's as far as Shitas HaTosus is concerned. The other Rishonim disagree. The Ram at the end of Perek Tes Mimachol Sasuris, the Rashi Taurus Habayis, the Valaito, the Rosh, they claim you have to wait a Shir Zman. Now, how much is a Shir Zman? So they claim that the shear is not between the suda that you eat in the early part of the day and the suda that you eat in the evening. Those two sudas are called sudas kivuos, and that's going to determine how much time you have to wait after basu ticholav. And the Rambam says that that shear is kisheshos. Okay. Now, there are many comments here in the Marshal, which I think we've mentioned in the past. I'm not saying we don't need Chazara. But for the time being, what I would like to do is look at this Sefer that I've quoted to you quite often called the Moreshes Moshe. And he says the following. Let's go according to those Shitos, which we said is most of the Rishonim, that after Basar, he needs two things. He needs Kinuach and Hadocha, and he also needs to wait the Shir Zman Beit Sudel Asud. Let's go according to those Rishonim that the Shir Zman is a significant amount of time. We'll call it 6 hours. He says there are two schools, two approaches as to why Kinuach Vadocha is not sufficient. Why is it that we have to add in the Sugya of Mar Ukva another condition, and that is Sudachriti. The first school of thought is headed up by the Rambam, and there are others who accept the Rambam. He has the Rid, the Ravan, Rabbeinu Yonah, Beis Yosef, the Rashba, and they explain that this Basar Nisrach Bein Hashinayim Bein Yotze Mehera, meaning even though he did Kinuach and Adocha, there still is some remaining Basar Bein Hashinayim. Now this is going to be a bit confusing, at least to me, and I'll tell you what I'm confused about. What you're telling me is that there's still Basar Bein Hashinayim that's left over. So what are you going to do? You couldn't get it all out through Kinuach, so you're going to wait till Sudachriti. Okay, so what happens after Sudachriti? You waited the 6 hours. What happened to that leftover, the spillover of Basar Bein Hashinayim? Ella, and soon we'll see this svara, not everybody agrees, but this svara to say that Basar Bein Hashinayim is halachically not considered Basar Bein Hashinayim after the 6 hours. So what boggles my mind is if you're going to wait the 6 hours because of Basar Bein Hashinayim, and after the 6 hours it's not Basar Bein Hashinayim, why are you requiring Kinuach? Kinuach HaPeh, it seems like an exercise of futility, because Kinuach HaPeh alone is insufficient. There's still going to be Basar Nisrach Bein Hashinayim, and you're going to have to wait 6 hours. Once you wait the 6 hours, then Al Pi Din, this Basar Bein Hashinayim is not considered Basar. It's Nisakel. It's in some sense, it's already been digested or disintegrated. So if that be the case, what's the point to Kinuach? That's a question that I have. I'm hoping in the time that we have allotted to us, we'll come up with an answer to this question. But in any event, let's go slowly. So again, one school of thought headed up by the Rambam, the reason why we have to wait 6 hours is because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. Even though he's already done Kinuach HaPeh, there's still some Basar Bein Hashinayim left over. Fine. So now, within the context of this first shita of the Rambam, we have to ask another question. So, okay, you're worried about Basar Bein Hashinayim. Now you waited 6 hours. What's the grace of Gedilla of waiting 6 hours? What have you gained by waiting 6 hours? So let's mention first the Tur. The Tur in Siman Pei Tes says that even if he's got leftover Basar Bein Hashinayim, it's mutter. The havi kima ukol. So there's some sort of process of equal. We call it disintegration for lack of a better translation of the word ma'ukol. And al pi din, by the time you get to 6 hours, it's ma'ukol. I find this very difficult. I don't know why it's ma'ukol. And not only that, the Gemara's language is sudachriti, another su'uda. Tulsa says another suda means literally another suda, and you can do it immediately, you know, just bench it. But even if I don't accept Tulsa's shita, it's a little bit difficult to push into the Gemara that suda achrita means, because that's going to set up an equal on the Basar Bein Hashinayim. You know, there's a little bit of a jump over here. We're going to have to say that the Chazal came up with some sort of an objective standard to address the question: when do we cease to validate or recognize the Basar Bein HaShiniyim? At what point is the Basar Bein HaShiniyim mufka from Hashem Basar? And they set it up as Suda Achriti. You know, you can always ask the question, why? It's not really a biological statement, perhaps. It's a halachic statement. The Rabbanan had to find a getter l'davar. At what point can be mafkia, the shame basar from the Basar Bein HaShiniyim, so that we don't have to worry about it? And they set it up as l'suda achriti. He goes on to say, v'chein mashma v'divri ha-ramban v'harashba. So the Torah is not alone. He's not a lone ranger here. The Rishonim that seem to already anticipate what the Torah is going to say a couple of generations later, and that is that Basar Bein HaShiniyim after 6 hours is Me'ukal. Then he quotes the Pri Chodesh. And the Pri Chodesh says the following. Pri Chodesh lived, I think, about 3 centuries ago. The Achar Vav Shos, Lo Chai Shinon, She Nishar Basar Bein HaShiniyim. The Afim Nishar HaBasar, Lo Chai Shinon, She Yetze Achutza Bi'od Shokol Gvina. The Pri Chodesh wants to set up a kind of an umdana, almost, a kind of an assumption in statistical probabilities. And he says the following, that by the time 6 hours go by, all the Basar Bein HaShiniyim is already loosened up. You know, it's gone. It's disappeared. It's not there anymore. So he's not using the concept of Me'ukal, which I think is more of a halachic concept, that there is Basar there, but it's already disintegrated. It doesn't have a shame Basar. He's saying there is no Basar B'Metzius. However, he says, what if there is Basar? Now, generally speaking, in 99% of the cases, there won't be any basar left between your teeth after this period of time goes on, after it passes. But what about that 1% chance that there is basar? So he says, now we have another suffix. Even if there is basar, it might remain stuck between his teeth during the time that he eats gvina. And the whole issur is to eat gvina with basar. So we're worried about the Basar Bein HaShiniyim loosening up and entering into the mouth that's full of gvina, such that he's eating basar and gvina simultaneously. The answer is that they're probably after he eats basar, if he didn't wait any time, then we're going to assume that there is Basar Bein HaShiniyim. Once we assume there's Basar Bein HaShiniyim, we have to assume the possibility that it might be Yotze Achutza, will come out from the Bein HaShiniyim, and it'll mix with the Gvina. But that's only a suffix. Now add another suffix. Is there Basar Bein HaShiniyim? So the answer is, just 1 second, the answer is that it's highly unlikely after 6 hours that there's Basar Bein HaShiniyim. El what? It's unlikely, but maybe there is Basar Bein HaShiniyim, so I can still say that it's not Yotze Achutza. So if I know, or I assume, because of the rove, or whatever high statistical probability that there is Basar Bein HaShiniyim, that's within the 6 hour period, then I'm not going to say, well, he's going to eat gvina and the Basar Bein HaShiniyim is going to remain stuck wherever it is, Bein HaShiniyim. No. I'm going to have to be very careful, but I'm worried about the possibility that the Basar Bein HaShiniyim is Yotze Achutza. But if I change the statistical probability, and instead of assuming there's a 60-70% chance that there is Basar Bein HaShiniyim, I'm going to assume that after 6 hours there's a 60-70% chance that there is no Basar Bein HaShiniyim. So you're only worried about a 20-30% chance that there is Basar Bein HaShiniyim. Now I can add another suffix into the equation, that perhaps that Basar Bein HaShiniyim that's left over, that's the very tough Basar Bein HaShiniyim that refuses to disintegrate, refuses to move, it may remain stuck exactly where it is, and it won't be Yotze Achutza.
So Basar Bein HaShiniyim remains, right? As opposed to...
Again, after 6 hours, chances are, the greatest statistical probability are that there's no bas menishinayim remaining. You know, he eats, he chews, he speaks.
Is this a halachic statement or not?
No. He's talking about statistical probability. You know, in the first approach, which is the approach of the tour and many other Rishonim, we had some sort of halachic status that even though there is Basar Ben Shinaim after 6 hours, it's not considered Basar. We're Mafkir L'Shem Basar, that's called Ma'ukal. That's not the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash is saying that the Basar is Basar, remains Basar, and as long as it's Ben Shinaim, you have a serious problem because then you're eating Gvina with Basar. And that's true within 6 hours and after 6 hours. So the Pri Chadash therefore raises the question, what's the 6 hours? How's it going to help you? You still have Basar Ben Shinaim. He says the most likely the Basar Ben Shinaim is gone. And even if you'll tell me there still is a shirayim, a little bit left over, you know, some tough, you know, Basar Ben Shinaim that didn't want to give in. You know, it was very, very deeply entrenched between the shinayim. I have another suffix to add to the equation. And that is that perhaps when he eats the Gvina, the Basar Ben Shinaim will remain trapped where it is. It won't come out of the trappings between the Shinaim and combine with the Cholah. So we put those two Sveikas together, says the Pri Chodesh, we have nothing to worry about. So therefore, after 6 hours, I don't assume there's any Basar. And even if there is Basar, I can fall back on this suffix that maybe it won't be Yotzeh. Says the Pri Chodesh, but what happens if after 6 hours he finds Basar? Then he has to remove that basar. He can't eat gvina. He's only allowed to eat gvina because he doesn't know that there's basar. And then add to another variable to the equation, that even if there is basar there, which he doesn't know that there is, it might stay in its place and remain trapped, and therefore won't penetrate into and mix with the gvina. But if he knows that he has basar ben shinaim after the 6 hours, that's a problem. He's not going to be permitted to eat gvina at that point. He has to get to the point where, as far as he knows, he's got, you know, he's rid of all his basar ben shinaim. And that's not the approach of the tour, because the tour would say even if he finds basar ben shinaim after 6 hours, it's kima'ukal. That's already a halachic status that you're mafkir the shame basar. The Pri Chodesh doesn't recognize that. Now, in the Sefer here, he brings down a whole bunch of achronim that embrace the Pri Chodesh. They accepted his shita. He has the Knesset Hagdola. His name was Ben Veristi. You know, you're going back, you know, to the 400 years ago and more. He's got the Divrei Mordechai, and he's got the Maram, and he's got a Darkei Moshe that seems to assume like this. For example, the Darkei Moshe said there was a case where he found Gvina Ben Ashinaim. Again, we're not assuming that there's always going to be Gvina Ben Ashinaim. There's Basar Ben Ashinaim, not Gvina. Gvina is very soft and it goes out. But what happens if he found Gvina Ben Ashinaim? And the halach in such a case is he has to wait to eat Basar, just like in a case where he wants to eat Gvina after Basar. He can't eat Gvina because he has to wait to get rid of the Basar Ben Ashinaim. So too in the case of the reverse, where he has Gvina Ben Ashinaim, the Ramah says that he has to wait before he eats basar until he gets rid of the gvina ben shinaim. In other words, we're not holding ma'ukal. There's no halacha ma'ukal here. It's all dependent upon the mitzias. Is there basar ben shinaim? Is there no basar ben shinaim? And the same question would apply in gvina. The Prima Gadol also at least raises the possibility, the logical possibility of the Pri Chodesh. And We'll soon see that the Pri Chodesh wants to accept both Shitas L'Chumra. That means we're going to wait 6 hours, we're going to allow you to eat Gvina, but in event that you know, or you found, you're aware of the existence of Basar Ben Shinaim, then we're going to hold like the Pri Chodesh, and it's not Kima Ukal, we're going to be Machmir, to require that you get rid of the Basar Ben Shinaim, even after the 6 hours. That's the way the Prima Gadol has it. Now, one of the achronim who rejects the Pri Chodesh is the Pri...
Make sure you brush your teeth.
Right. So that's going to be the Hadoch. He says in the name of the Pri Toar, Lo mistavir shabosar misakil b'sheishos danisayin mochiach shabimeshach sheishos nisrach habosam lo nishar botam. Meaning, I think what the Bitar is saying, it's not crystal clear, there may be even a toast fusi in the print. He doesn't like the Pri Chodesh. Why? The Pri Chodesh is rejecting the tour. The Pri Chodesh is saying, well, you know what? 6 hours went by, you still have Basar Bein HaShinayim. It's not Me'ugal. And we have to assume, therefore, says the Pri Chodesh, that there is no Basar Bein HaShinayim. And if you know about Basar Bein HaShinayim, you have a problem. And you won't be able to eat after 6 hours. Just that if in the absence, you know, ignorance makes bliss here. If you don't know that you have Basar Bein HaShinayim, the Pri Chodesh says you have a right to assume there is no Basar Bein HaShinayim. That's the Pri Chodesh. But the Pri Chodesh insists that if you know about the existence of Basar Bein HaShinayim even after 6 hours, then that's a serious halachic problem. We're not allowed you to eat gvina. So the Pritar stands up and he objects. He says, how can you say such a thing? I guess he's saying, you know, check Google and you'll find that after 6 hours, nisrach ha-basar, the basar sort of, you know, it disintegrates. V'lo nishar bo tam, and there's no tam basar left. So what are you telling me? That it's a cheftz of basar and you can't eat it with gvina when there's no tam? I mean, the whole Easter of basar b'cholav is all about tam. It's about the passage of tam from the basar into the cholav. But after 6 hours, the basar is in such a sad state that it's completely absent of tam. So ad kana kofa alef. This is going to be the whole cadre of Rishonim headed up by the Rambam, that the reason why we wait six hours after basar is because of basar bein HaShinayim. What happens after 6 hours, that already is two shitos, the tour versus the Pri Chodesh. But now we get to Roman numeral number 2, another school of thought. This school of thought is headed up by Rashi. And there are a whole bunch of Rishonim who accepted Rashi, the Arzarua, the Ran, the Ruki Yosef. They're not concerned with Basar Bein HaShinayim. They're concerned with HaBasar Motzi Shuman. Let's go over the Rashi one more time. HaBasar Motzi Shuman V'Nidbak B'Peh U'Marech B'Taymo. Alright, so the Nidbak B'Peh, I'm not sure what Rashi means, because he's saying that Motzi Shuman, and then, so what's the Nidbak B'Peh? I guess he's saying that the Shuman, this abstract theoretical or ephemeral, you know, shiraim of basar, is somehow stuck in his mouth. Mashma shenishar tam bepeh. So the Iser here, according to Rashi, if he doesn't wait the 6 hours, is not because he's eating basar, but he's got the tam basar. So it's not a combination of basar with gvina, where he's eating both together, but he's got a tam bepeh. It's almost as if that tam of basar somehow penetrates into the gvina. Now the tour removes two words. Now I'm not sure if he's, it's not clear to me if he's changing the Girsan Rashi, but he omits the words nidbak bepeh. Because again, if you omit those two words, Rashi reads much more smooth. Then it means habasar motzi shuman umarech tam. The nidbak bepeh is a little problematic. It sounds a little bit more like the Rambam with basar bein HaShinayim, that there's real, you know, there's real material, or what would it be, tangible basar. And Rashi seems to be taking a different approach, you know, the approach of Shuman and Tam. So therefore, let's get rid of the words Nidbak B'Peh. We try to make an effort to salvage those words Nidbak B'Peh. Says the Tur, if I didn't swallow the basar, I just chewed it and then I spit it out. According to Rashi and Seyoso, Ein Sarach Lahamtin. So we're going to talk about this later, but let's just get the conceptual understanding here. Is that if we're not talking about an Iser, again, to Rabbanon, of Basar B'Chol, because there's no Basar there, according to Rashi, he's not concerned, it's not on his radar screen that there's Basar Bein HaShinayim, but rather we're worried about Tam. Rashi holds that, according to this interpretation of the Torah, Tam Basar is a result of digesting the basar. Meaning, once you eat the basar and you swallow it, that tam of basar still comes up on him, if you pardon that phrase. But let's say he didn't swallow the basar. For example, he had a child. I don't know at what age you feed the child basar. Let's say the child is 1 year old. So what you do is you want to chew up the basar, because the child can't swallow a piece of meat. But you take out the basar from your mouth after you chew it and you give it to the child. So you never actually swallowed the basar. So according to the Rambam, you've got basar ben hashinayim. But Rashi's not concerned. It's not on his radar screen. He doesn't have basar ben hashinayim. All he has is the tam. Says the Torah, that tam is a result of the fact that he swallows the basar. And the Taz and the Shach quote this tour, and they assume that the tam comes from the me'ayim and not from the peh. So again, the fact that he took meat into his mouth and chewed it up, that's not what creates the tam basar b'fiv. The tam basar b'fiv comes up from the belly, from the me'ayim, when he swallows the basar. Lachain, therefore, im lo blow, if he didn't swallow the basar, so he just chewed it to feed his child. Ain't tzarich lahamtin, according to Rashi Shita, that the reason why you need the 6 hours is because of the tam. The tam is not a result of the peh, but rather as a result of bliya, when he swallows the meat and it's in his me'ayim, that's going to bring up a tam. So therefore, if he doesn't swallow the meat, according to Rashi, he would not have to wait 6 hours. So next time you chew up meat in order to feed your child, keep in mind that Rashi's Shita, we'll see in the postgame later, is that you don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay, now we have a presentation of the Moreshes Moshe. What are the nafkaminas? What are the differences between the Rambam Viseyoso and Rashi and Seyoso? So let's go over. The Rambam says you have to wait 6 hours because there's basar, pieces of meat that are stuck in between your teeth. Rashi's not worried at all about pieces of meat in between your teeth. He's only worried about the tam basar. So what are the nafkaminas? So the first nafkamina we saw already in the tour, las latinok velo bola. He chewed it up, but he didn't swallow it. According to Rashi, be mutter. He doesn't have to wait 6 hours. According to the Rambam, he'd have to wait 6 hours because he's got basar ben hashinayim. The second nafkamina, he says, what happens if he finds basar after 6 hours? He thought that all the basar ben hashinayim was gone, but lo and behold, he finds, this happens to me occasionally, if I eat a fleshy meal very late at night, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I still have plenty of meat in between my teeth. I don't know if you've had that experience. So he says the following, that if we assume like the Rambam Shita is that after 6 hours, and that's the whole point of waiting 6 hours, it's called ma'ukal. It means it disintegrates. What that means is that nisrach ha-basar, the basar is already disintegrated, and mufka shame basar. It's not considered basar. Again, you know, physically it looks like basar, but it's not basar. That's this new halacha that after 6 hours it's not basar. Now again, keep in mind that's not the pre-chadash. The pre-chadash said that if you find basar after 6 hours, even according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to eat gvina because it's still considered basar. The only assumption is that by the time 6 hours pass by, he doesn't have any basar ben hashinayim left. But if he knows for sure that he has basar ben hashinayim, he's not allowed to eat gvina until he gets rid of the basar ben hashinayim. But now we're going according to the first interpretation of the Rambam, and that we found reflected in the Ramban and the Rashba and the Tur. They say that it's kimaukal, that after six hours, even though he's pointing and he looks in the mirror and he sees basar ben hashinayim, that's not considered basar ben hashinayim, and therefore he can eat gvina immediately. According to Rashi, on the other hand, the basar that's still around even after 6 hours is still mala tam. Again, you don't have to say such a thing, but that's what the Agur says. Again, the Sefer Agur. The Sefer Agur is a sefer that was written, I think, about 6 centuries ago. And he's of the opinion that according to Rashi, we don't have to consider Basar Ben Ishinayim. It's not something that's significant as far as the Isur of Achilas Gvina. Rashi's worried about Tam. So that if after 6 hours, I would assume that there's still Tam Basar, and he hasn't gotten rid of the Tam Basar, then Rashi's going to say it's also. The Rambam is going to operate with a position that after 6 hours, it's not considered Basar. But Rashi's not asking the question of Basar. Rashi's only addressing the issue of Tam Basar. And if there's reason to believe that you still have a lingering Tam Basar, then it's absolutely forbidden to eat Gvina.
A couple of questions on that. First, the quote in the Gemara from Rav Chisda is a Basar ordain a Bain Shanaim. It was the meat was actually between their teeth. So how could one say that if the meat was, you know, the meat between their teeth isn't considered meat once it's
right? So we're saying here, according to the Tur, and it's not just the Tur, it's the Ramban and the Rashba, and they all say this in the Rambam, is that when we say Basar Bein Shanaim is considered Basar, that's as long as it's healthy Basar, as long as it's real, it's alive, it's active. But after a certain period of time, the Basar starts to disintegrate. That's called Ikul, Ayim Ku Chaf Vav Lamed. And then the entire status of the Basar is gone. Again, your position, Eric, is a very good one, and that's the Pre-Chadosh. You weren't here when we discussed it, but the Pre-Chadosh says that Basar remains Basar, Le'olam Vayeh. There's no such thing as removing the shape Basar. So the only thing is there Basar? That's the Pre-Chadosh. Right. The assumption of the Pre-Chadosh is that after 6 hours, there's no Basar left. If you know, to the contrary, there is Basar, you have a problem. You can't eat Gvina.
And do you have to wait another 6 hours if meat comes out from between your teeth and then you swallow it?
So that for that I want to wait a little bit till we okay. See there are 5 nafka minas. We've only done 2 out of 5.
Okay. And then
okay, so let's see.
One last related question is for those who wait less than 6 hours, you know, 1 hour, the 3 hour, does that affect whether the meat between one's teeth counts as meat or not?
Yeah, it seems that they're not worried about Basar Bein Ishinayim at all. They're not even worried about Tam Basar in his that's coming up from his belly. They're only worried about the Suda. The Chazal prohibited you from eating Basar and Cholov in the same Suda. As long as you terminate the Suda, you're okay. That's one Shita. That's the Shita of Tosis. There's another Shita, which is Rabbein Tam, and he holds that we're going to rely on what's called kinuach. Kinuach means, let's say, for example, you take a piece of bread and you chew it up, and we assume that by chewing up the bread, you get rid of all the basar bein hashinayim. And therefore, you can eat gvina immediately after kinuach hapeh. So Rabbeinu Tam doesn't know of this whole requirement. Well, again, Rabbeinu Tam understands that there is halacha of waiting 6 hours in Sudah Krita, but only in the case where you didn't do kinuach. If you did the kinuah thoroughly, then there's no basar bein hashinayim, and then you can go ahead and eat kvin.
That mandamer nobody holds today.
I don't know. I'm not up to that, Eric. I'm just trying to work through the shittas, and then maybe we'll go through, you know, the poskim. It's for me, it's premature. I mean, I'm spending a lot of time trying to, you know, it's like a maze here. I'm trying to navigate through this maze and figure out. There's so many, you know, you get one sheet, then you get 3 sheets to understand that one sheet, and then you go to another sheet. It's like, it's so complicated. So there are 3 other nafkaminas that he has here. We've gotten down 2. Let's just go over the 2. We're waiting 6 hours. Again, it's not sheet atos to say you don't even have to wait 6 hours, just terminate the suda. No, the Chazal say you have to wait 6 hours. Why? So one school of thought is the Rambam, and many Rishonim, that it's basar bein hashinayim. What happens after the 6 hours? Again, that's another machlokas, because either after 6 hours there is no basar, or the basar is considered ma'ukal. And then we have another sheet that says the whole purpose and the whole requirement of waiting 6 hours is because of the tam basar. Yes, the tam basar, and the Rishonim claim that tam basar is because the basar goes down into his belly and he's digesting it and he's still sensing the basar in his mouth. And that terminates with 6 hours. And then we had 2 nafkaminas. The first nafkamina, which is the most profound, I think that really clarifies this issue, is las latinok v'lo bala. according to the Rambam, he's got basar v'ein shinayim. The fact he didn't swallow it is irrelevant. According to Rashi, until he swallows it, there's no tam basar. That's going to be the first nafkamina. And the second nafkamina is going to be, what happens in a case where after 6 hours he finds basar v'ein shinayim? According to the Rambam, if you take the first approach of the Rambam, not the Pri Chodosh, that there's a halachic change, a name change, a status change to the Basar v'ein shinayim, you have no problem. I don't care if there's Basar v'ein shinayim after 6 hours, that's not Basar. But if you go with Rashi Shita, that's still, obviously there's still Tam Basar, because he's got Basar v'ein shinayim. Again, Rashi doesn't have this whole distinction between, you know, before 6 hours, after 6 hours. Rashi's only holding that after 6 hours you generally digest it. But if it, you know, you ate some very heavy meat, you know, you ate steak, and then it was a great piece of rib steak, I'm getting hungry already just thinking about it, and then it takes a long time to digest it, could be theoretically that it's possible that you would not have digested it within 6 hours. And the proof of the pudding is that you still have meat in your mouth. So Rashi's going to say, wait a minute, you've got tam basar b'fid. It's only the Rambam who's worried about particles of basar. Then he analyzes what's the status of these particles. Do they have the status of basar? Are they not? And that's with six hours. That becomes an absolute. So the three other nafkaminas, I would wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow we have regular time in Mirz Hashem. That would be at 7:30. And I'm going to make a note of where we got up to. And we'll pick it up tomorrow. If you gentlemen don't mind closing up for me, I'm just in a crazy rush.